It's been 2.5 weeks since 17 students and teachers were killed in the shooting at the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. A student-led movement emerging from that shooting has shifted the national debate about guns. And one issue that is coming to the fore is funding for research on gun violence. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention have a program focused on injury prevention and control. But in 1996, legislation known as the Dickey Amendment barred the CDC from advocating for gun control, and that turned into a de facto ban on gun research. Fast forward 2 decades, and we don't even have a centralized authoritative database of mass shootings. So what could we learn if we did decide to fund gun violence research again? Dr. Mark Rosenberg is president emeritus of the Task Force for Global Health and was founding director of the CDC's National Center for Injury Prevention and Control, where he retired as assistant surgeon general after 20 years of government service. Mark, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks. Let me first just clarify something. The Dickey Amendment did not stop the gun research by itself. And this is something that's really important for people to understand. It does not bar research on gun violence prevention. What it bars is lobbying for gun control legislation. CDC was not in that business. It was in the business of doing research. So this wasn't really a ban. What it was a shot across the bow. It was a warning to people who do research on gun violence prevention that if you do this kind of research, we can make your life miserable because we will write letters to the Secretary of HHS or the Director of CDC, and we'll tell them that you are advocating and promoting gun control. Even though you're not, we'll make your life miserable. So this was really a warning shot across the bow to researchers doing that kind of research. And there was a second warning shot, and that was Congress took away $2.6 million, which was everything that we were spending at that time for gun violence prevention research. Subsequently, there was a third shot across the bow, and that was fired by CDC itself. And that was when CDC fired the person most closely identified with gun violence prevention research. That was the director of the National Center, and that I know is true because that was me. These three shots across the bow effectively resulted in halting gun research, and at CDC, the research into this area fell by more than 90% in subsequent years, and that's where it remains. It stopped us. It stopped the research dead in our tracks. So these are the four questions where we need research. What's the problem? What are the causes? What works? And how do you do it?
I'm talking with Mark Rosenberg. He's the founding director of the CDC's National Center for Injury Prevention and Control. And we're talking about gun violence research. How much of that work was happening prior to the Dickey Amendment? And where did we stand in our understanding? I mean, as I mentioned before, at the moment, we don't even have good numbers for how many people are killed by what kinds of weapons in what places and what sorts of situations. We don't have those basic statistics right now, let alone the information that you were, you know, saying we need about causes and possible policies to address it. How much of that information did we have prior to 1996?
I think we had made a good start on understanding what's the problem. I think we learned that there are roughly 34,000 gun deaths a year in this country. Two-thirds of all of those gun deaths are suicides. Most people don't understand that at all. They think most of these gun deaths are homicides, or even worse, people think that school shootings constitute the biggest part of gun deaths. But we started to understand something about the problem. We learned that in homicides, the victims are disproportionately young black men from inner city areas. In fact, the ratio of young black men to young white men killed is 8 to 15 to 1. So disproportionately young black men make up the homicide victims, and people with some type of mental illness make up the majority of suicide victims. We understood that both of these groups are groups without much political clout, without much of a voice. So we started to understand something about the problem, and we learned that most homicides occur among people who know each other. Domestic violence is a huge type of gun homicide that affects, by and large, women. So we learned something about what's the problem. We also started to learn something about what are the causes. In fact, the very first study that we did with an extramural investigator was to look at the question, does having a gun in your home protect your family and yourself? We found that not only does having a gun in your home not protect you, it puts you at great, great risk of being killed with a gun. For example, if there's a gun in your home, the risk that someone in your home will die from a gun homicide triples. The risk goes up 200%. And for suicide, it was five times as high, a 400% increase, that someone in your home will die from a gun suicide if you have a gun. And for domestic violence, a similar finding, it went up five times or 400%. These were huge increases in risk from having a gun. The NRA did not like that finding, so they decided to scale up their attack on the injury center, and they decided that they would find an advocate in Congress who would be their point man for their attempt to shut down the whole injury center. And they found that point man in the person of Jay Dickey, a conservative Republican, born-again Christian from rural Arkansas. And in 1996, we faced off at a hearing in Congress. The NRA was trying to shut us down, and there were many other people who saw the value of research to prevent gun violence, and they tried to keep the injury center going. The Dickey Amendment was a compromise that came out of that. And the agreement was that the injury center would not be shut down, but that the money would be taken away from the gun research. And this message would be put into the CDC appropriations that said none of the funds that go to CDC should be used to promote or advocate gun control.
I mean, while that statement that having a gun in the home increases the risk of being injured or killed by a gun is a statement of scientifically derived evidence, it's easy to see how that could approach a line of advocacy or policy. And especially with, you're saying, the third of the four important questions is what policies work. If you're actually saying that we need to be researching policy options, what does that research even look like, for one? Don't you have to put policies into place in order to study them? And how would you do research without crossing the line into some sort of advocacy?
So advocacy in this context really means lobbying Congress to pass specific legislation. That's very different from doing a study so you can go to Congress with the results of your study. Let me give you an example. So in the 1950s, there was a drug company that developed a drug that they said was a miracle cure for pregnant women. Pregnant women suffer from two things in the pregnancy. They suffer from insomnia, they can't sleep, and they suffer from nausea or morning sickness. This drug company found a drug that stopped both of these. So they went to governments and they advocated for their medicine. There was a brave woman physician, Dr. Kelsey, at the FDA, who said, no, I'm not going to accept this just on the basis of your advocacy. I want data. They went back to her six times, and each time she said no. By that time, the disastrous results of this drug in Europe were starting to be clear. There were more than 10,000 babies born with deformed limbs. Many more were aborted, and many were born with other congenital deformities. The name of the drug was thalidomide. It was a disastrous drug because they hadn't stopped to do the research to see if it was safe and effective. What we're saying is that we need to do the same thing for our legislators in this country. We need to be able to tell them, is this intervention that you're talking about, for example, arming all teachers or arming 10% of teachers, is this going to be safe? That's the research that needs to be done.
But how do you do that research? How do you do that and answer those questions?
Really good question. You have to set up a large study that probably involves many states that want to go ahead and do the study. You find five states, for example, that want to arm teachers, and you find five states that don't want to arm teachers, and you set up the science so that you collect all the data you need ahead of time and then over time. You may have to go for 5 years to collect enough data. And you say, gee, maybe this works. Or you say, gee, no, this doesn't work. But you collect the data over time. The question comes up, why should CDC be involved in these studies? And the intervention you test doesn't have to be arming teachers. It could be limiting the sale of semi-automatic rifles. It could be registering all types of guns that are sold, getting absolutely complete background data. Or it could be that you want to look at these red flag warning laws that let you take guns away from people at very high risk of harming themselves or another. Whatever intervention you're studying, you set up the trial, you do it, you collect the data for a long enough time, you get the cooperation of state, federal, and local law enforcement authorities, and you conduct the trial. When you don't have answers, you have advocates like the person who wanted to sell thalidomide to pregnant women in the United States. You have advocates arguing, do this, do that intervention, make it easier to carry concealed weapons, don't ban assault rifles. You have people saying whatever they want to say when there's no data, and we expect legislators to know what to choose, we put them in an awful position.
Dr. Mark Rosenberg is President Emeritus of the Task Force for Global Health and was the founding director of CDC's National Center for Injury Prevention and Control. Mark, thank you so much.
Thanks for talking about this very important topic.
Up next, the infrastructure of the future, what it might look like and how to build it. Living Lab Radio continues after a short break.